Friends in Christ, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. I hope you can hear me this morning. I'm so sorry for my voice today. But from the first epistle of St. Peter, in the fourth chapter, we read these words as we continue our Lenten Sunday series. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's various varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. This is his word. Please be seated. The end of all things is at hand, Peter says. So what goes through your mind when you hear that everything around you, everything you've ever experienced, everything you've ever seen in this world, will soon be gone? What's your reaction when you are reminded that everyone you know, your family, your friends, yourself, will soon stand before the judgment seat of God? You know, honestly, do you just shrug your shoulders when you hear that and wonder whether it's really even true? Because, you know, after all, people have been saying for thousands of years, the end is near. Which, because the end hasn't come yet, often makes them the butt of jokes. You know, that classic cartoon with that long-bearded hippie kook out there on the city streets, and the placard that says, the end is near. The Apostle Peter is no kook. And he makes no apologies for what he says here. The end is near. It was true in his day, and it's true now. Whether by the coming of Jesus Christ or by your own personal demise, the end is near. So how are you supposed to respond and react to that, if not to make jokes about it? Well, to help you answer that question, would you this morning just consider for a few moments the protocol for saving people when a ship is sinking? Prior to 1852, the accepted procedure when your ship was sinking was every man for himself. You might say that all is fair in love and war and when your ship is sinking. You do anything at all to try to save yourself. That was the protocol. But then, on February 28, 1852, that protocol began to change. A 1,900-ton frigate named the HMS Birkenhead was carrying troops and passengers when it wrecked off of the coast near Cape Town, South Africa, and it began to sink. There weren't enough lifeboats on board for everybody, so the captain gave the traditional order. Every man for himself, he said. But famously, the troops on board the Birkenhead did not heed the captain's order. Instead of pushing their way to safety and doing whatever they had to do to preserve and save themselves, instead they stood back and they allowed the women and the children to board the lifeboats ahead of them. 643 people were on that ship. Only 193 survived. But the chivalry of those soldiers gave rise eventually to the new protocol for abandoning ship that we still use today. Women and children first. And I don't tell you that story to illustrate to the men that you should consider the lives of women and children to be more precious than your own. That's not the point. I just want you to see that in a time of serious peril, when the end is close at hand, we should consider the lives of other people ahead of our own. That's what Paul said to the Philippians, consider others better than yourself. In a time of peril, it seems there are two kinds of people. There are those who look out for themselves, and then there are those who recognize the need to look out for other people as well. Which one are you? Because we are in perilous times. This world is sinking fast. Can you feel it listing as you read the daily headlines? This world is tipping and sinking toward a disastrous end. The end is near. And because the end is near, Revelation tells us Satan knows that his time is short and he does not have much time left to do his destructive work. And so he has doubled down on his treachery and his lying. He is frantically trying to destroy anyone and anything that God loves and holds dear. These are perilous times. It reminds me of our politicians in Washington, D.C. right now with this whole health care reform thing. They're pushing so hard on this that they seem to know that they don't have much time to get this thing done. And before they lose their advantage, they're going to do whatever they have to do to reach this goal. That's the position Satan is in. His time is short. And so Peter says he's on the prowl like a lion seeking people to devour. And he is so good at what he does. When people's spirits are ripped apart by all kinds of false beliefs and false gods, hell's lion is stalking. When your emotions are shattered and when people's are driven to despair and despondency because of their sins, the evil one is on the prowl. And when entire nations are turning away from God and sinking deeper into corruption and immorality, the prince of this world is only doing what he has to do to make the best use of the time that he has to bring all of us down with him into death. And why is he so successful? Well, one thing, he's the father of lies. He is just plain good at lying. But it's also because there's not enough of those who've been saved who care about those who are still lost. When it comes to the end of time and the judgment of Christ, those of us who are safely on board the ark of the church tend to practice, let's admit it, we tend to practice the old sinking ship protocol. Every man for himself. After all, when this world goes down, I'm just happy that I can be saved. Who cares about you or anybody else? But Peter calls for a new protocol. The end of everything is near, he says. So now what? Every man for himself? No. Listen again to what he says. The end is near, he says. Therefore, be sober-minded for the sake of your prayers and self-controlled. Keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another. And as you receive gifts, use them to serve each other as good stewards of God's grace. And when you speak, speak the words of God. And when you serve, serve by the strength that God supplies. As the end is drawing near, don't lose your head and think only about your own salvation. Think about other people. Pray for them, Peter says. Let your love cover their sins. As the grace that you exhibit toward those who've sinned against you leads them to the greater grace of God who has forgiven you. Be hospitable. Serve others. Speak the word of God to others. All of these things are not for you, but they're for your neighbor. And we have to do these things so that we don't waste all of the empty seats on the lifeboat, because unlike the Birkenhead, there's still plenty of room to save people, plenty of seats available in the lifeboat. As we like to sing in the mission hymn, there still is room. facing the peril that we do, we have to decide. Are we just a collection of individuals who are concerned only about ourselves and our own salvation? Or are we the church? Are we called and gathered by the Holy Spirit to be the community of the saints who support each other and who seek the lost? Did Jesus Christ save you so that you might drift aimlessly through this life awaiting His coming? Or has He given us something more, like community? Even on the cross, as He was giving His life for us, Jesus knew that we would need each other. He had taught His disciples to depend on each other, to uphold each other, pray for each other, cry with each other, laugh with each other, worship with each other, and build His church together. And so on His cross, Jesus said to His mother, "Woman, here is your son." And to John, "Here is your mother." And in saying that, He gave all of us a purpose in this life, to care for each other and for all people. It's good to know that even though the waves of this storm-tossed world are buffeting us and beating us, even though the world is slowly sinking into a spiritual and moral corruption, Jesus has shown that He is powerful and victorious over these things. In His mercy, He has not abandoned us to face these things alone, but through His word, through the sacrament, through the fellowship of the community of the saints, He calls us more and more to be the people He says that we are. We don't exist as a community merely to maintain ourselves, but to proclaim to all who are still without hope that God has rescued us from sinking through Christ our Lord, that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And in answer to the question, now what? That's what. And that's who we are. In the precious name of our Savior. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ until life everlasting. Amen.